The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
If you're over 30 and something, that's half your age hitting the digs. Those lads are out partying at St. William Street later that night. I'm going home to have an ice bath.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.
8:35, it is time for our quick picks.
Some of these critics, these pundits.
I absolutely adore them, lads. I have unbelievable time for them, but they're a great bunch, but it's not acceptable.
They'd like to play the hard man when they're on it. It's not very pleasant when you're trying to manage a team. All you're looking for is a bit of civility and a bit of decency, but they just dismiss you like you know, you have nothing to do with the bloody occasion.
We have officially entered the business end of the championship season. We have entered the business end of the quick pick season. Last week, there was a massive twist as we changed the entire rules to try and break up the empire that is Adrian Barry's ability to correctly predict GAA events from that will actually happen. And he has not been deterred. It's the bad news this morning. Adrian Barry, in the new format, was the top scorer last week, so he has actually increased his lead, and we can have a look at the table as a result of last week's results. Adrian Barry now on 37 points, Will O'Callaghan and Tommy Rooney on 32 points, and there I am on 31 points at the bottom of the table. We will.
And you've made a mistake with that table.
How?
How is Will ahead of me?
You're a level.
You're not level.
Yeah, but how is W ahead of T?
It's a good point. Very good point.
I'm serious. I want that table altered before the end of this week's quick picks.
That is, I guess, a very neat way of clinging on to things at the moment. Will, I guess,
I've gone from bottom to second.
Has had the better season so far. So, congratulations to you all. I mean, if Kerry's hurlers hadn't COVID in the camp, they would have won that game, and my prediction would have been correct. And you know what? I'm not here. We all hate people who make excuses, but look, I mean, that's just the reality of the situation, isn't it?
By the way, Westmeath should have beaten Kildare, and I would have been even further ahead.
This, you're only top because you made a mistake. You meant to say Meath were going to lose by 16 points, not 6.
No, not a bit of it.
Is that true?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Come on, now listen. Look, the point to be made, and let's park it here, is that the organisers have set in train a new format with a view to topple the King, and the King is even stronger than ever. I am Dublin. I know how they feel.
You certainly are. It's time for the very serious business of this week's predictions. The football is where we begin. And everybody's gone for the same teams here, and this is why we changed the format. So, first up is Cork versus Kerry. It is a Munster final. It is an opportunity for revenge for Kerry after losing last year's Munster semi-final. But it's an opportunity for Cork for revenge as well, kind of, after losing last year's Munster final themselves. So Adrian is going for Kerry by 8. I'm going for Kerry by 4. Tommy's going for Kerry by 10. And Will is going for Kerry by 5. Let's start with the upper end of the scale. Tommy, why are you going double figures?
I can't believe you boys are going so conservative here. That's Cork. Cork can't score against Kerry. They can't. They got 13 scored last year. 112. They got, 3-10 the previous year? 13 scores.
3-10 is a pretty good score.
They scored 2-4 in 2018. I know they racked up a massive score against Westmeath, but I'm just struggling to see where they're going to get the scores from this weekend. And Kerry have been absolutely exceptional. Now, at the start of the week, I wasn't saying 10 points. I had it in my head that possibly Kerry could get spooked, that everything has gone so well for them this year, that they'll come up against Cork, there'll be, a bit of muscle memory from the horrors of last year, and maybe they could get spooked or freaked a wee bit. But the closer we get to the weekend, I don't see it happening. Their attack is functioning exceptionally well. They had an eye on Dublin last year, but even if they got to play Dublin last year, they weren't going like the way they're going now, They weren't set up the way they're set up now. Kerry are here,
Why is this different? What did you see? So remove the Cork game, remove the results from it and remove that performance from it. Kerry were league champions last year.
Yeah.
What was different about the way Kerry won the league last year to the way they won the league this year then? Because they haven't been impressive enough in the championship for the whole Dublin thing to be turning. So you're basing this on league, I assume.
Let's say the setup of their forwards. So they're no longer playing an Obioglik wing forward or Paul Murphy. They're no longer trying to shoehorn somebody else into the full forward line. They've Sean O'Shea and David Clifford inside. They've Paddy and Darren Moynihan back a bit further. They've Ganey and Stephen O'Brien. Take your pick, playing as, you know, across that middle third or deep wing forwards. They're functioning exceptionally well. Like Kenny Spann isn't starting at 14 last week when Darren Moynihan doesn't start. Like Micheál Burns is in because he's fulfilling a role there. They're not just picking their best six forwards. They have six forwards functioning incredibly well. And they're lethal. They're absolutely lethal at the minute. And, you know, Sean Powter was exceptional for Cork last year. And I think they missed him massively against Tipperary. He only played 40-odd minutes against Limerick last week. He's talking big talk this week. I hope to God he's there, because if he is, it'll make it a proper game. But Cork really need Powter and Moore to step up this weekend.
You mentioned the 13 scores being a poor tally. You would not have said that. I didn't hear anybody say 13 scores is a poor tally when Dublin put up 13 scores against Kerry and Thurles a few months ago. The thing about getting 13 scores against Kerry is that sometimes a handful of them can be goals. And for me, last year was an aberration. Yes, it was. But I would have concern about, and this is not concerned that I think Kerry are going to lose the game, but concern about going for a 10-point win, Tommy, is that the 2019 evidence is also pretty interesting when you study that year and the way Kerry were properly on the rack in that game. Granted, it's Cork, and I do think the Killarney factor is a reason why maybe you can go a bit bigger with your prediction. But I think that there is evidence beyond the aberration, and I think there's evidence this year that Kerry have conceded goals and in the biggest games that they've played.
They're bloodthirsty though.
But like
they
so
have been this year.
But like,
they murdered Galway. Like they didn't let up against Tyrone in the league.
I agree, but
they're like Dublin 3 or 4 years ago. That's where Kerry are at the minute. Like Dublin 3 or 4 years ago.
I think that analysis though is like that is true. But I think that this analysis has been very one-eyed in what Kerry are going to do to stop Dublin when they're coming up against a Cork team that are bloodthirsty after getting humiliated in the Munster final last year. And that is why
somebody needs to put a stop to this.
Thank you, Adrian.
I actually took great comfort from seeing that table for the first time and seeing that you had gone so low, because that gives me great comfort that myself and Tommy are absolutely in the right direction. I'm sorry, Will, but I think that you've been drawn in there by the Yerraism, pre-Yerraism. And I think that Tommy's 100% spot on, like revenge on their mind, unbelievable firepower at their feet. Kerry, and like Tommy said, have shown such a bloodthirst about them this year. I just think all this other stuff about, look, I know we were having a conversation. I was looking back at it last night, pre the semi-final last year, Owen, yourself, myself and Louise Galvin talking about it. And Louise was trying to make a bit of a case for Cork. And overall, I just felt we were being yarred away. And I know the way that game went, but it's just a different beast this year. And I think that when Kerry get the foot in the throat, they're not the team now to take it off. And that's why I think, to be honest, is the extreme end of where I think it'll be at. I think 10 might be a bit too much. But equally, I just think any sort of a case that you're making here to pour water on the idea that Kerry again are a team that are, a lot of people are feeling they can beat Dublin this year, so they need to be an 8 or 10 points better team than Cork.
What's the spread?
I think the spread could be I was about to say a number there and I was like, I haven't checked this. I would actually
I'll find it.
Come on in here.
Yeah, I was going to say, look, in terms of whether this is Yerraism or not, like, we're not debating whether Cork are going to win here. We're literally fighting over the distance of the spread. Like, we're all accepting that Kerry are actually going to come out on top. I don't know if Cork's scoring is going to be the issue against Kerry this weekend. I think Cork have actually been a decent scoring machine so far this year. The problem may well be that they're going to concede so much at the far end. Like, I can see this actually being quite a high-scoring game, but Kerry not necessarily pulling away in the way that Tommy's anticipating to win by 10 points, like, particularly when it's a provincial final too. Look, maybe we're going to see a statement performance, and maybe that's what, you know, Kerry will want to do to set themselves up nicely for an All-Ireland semi-final this year and to erase any doubts that people might have from last season. I would agree with Owen. I think last year is a complete aberration and we can't really consider that too much when we look into what's going to happen this weekend. But I wouldn't be totally surprised if Cork, like, I think I've gone for 4 on the differential. I wouldn't be surprised if Cork are within 5 points and yet Kerry still feel very comfortable winners, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm going for. Like, it's not Yerraism if you're picking Kerry to win. Let's just make that clear here. This is very much me predicting Kerry to win and having a 4-point margin in doing so. Let's bring up the football predictions again.
Spread is 9, by the way.
Look, the spread is 9. Okay, so we're all going under that. Like, and I do think it's
I'm going over.
The home Tommy, you're going over. My apologies. Will, you're going for five, by the way, rather than four. Mayo versus Galway then. We're very tight on this one. I'm going for four as well on this one. Adrian and Tommy, you're both going for two. And Will, you're going for three. You might kick us off on this one, Will.
Yeah, again, look, based on what we've seen from Mayo so far this season, they've spread their scores around since they've lost Killian O'Connor, which was the one major concern you would have had going into the season. Last year's game between these two was like an absolute arm wrestle, which I don't think Mayo are going to get dragged into quite the same again. God, Galway, it's so hard to know what you're getting from them this season. Like, you get performances like the Kerry game, then you get other games where it seems to click for them, and like against Roscommon in what was a horrific fixture, Galway were still by far the better team in that game. But for me, like, Mayo are probably 4 or 5 points the better team. But again, I kind of expect this one to be very close because it's going to be, you know, the nerves of two rivals taking on each other. But Mayo should have a little bit to spare back into the last four in the country again for this season. I can't see Galway putting in a performance to actually topple them this weekend.
We're quite tight in time, so I just want to bring up the hurling predictions and just kind of throw this one out. If we have a look at what is coming up this weekend in the hurling, we have two games. We've got Waterford against Galway. Everybody's picking a Galway win here. And myself and Tommy going for the biggest win here by 7 points. Adrian's going for four. Will's going for two. Then in the Clare Cork game, there's a split. Will's going for Cork by three. I'm going for Clare by two, as is Tommy, and Adrian's going for Clare by six. So, Tommy, just to finish up here, out of your other three predictions then, which is the one here that you're least confident about? I presume it's Clare in the hurling or Mayo in the football.
Yeah, I was close to going for... I never thought of going for Galway. I never wrote down Galway when I was typing out my answer to you yesterday, but it was close. With Clare, I think my original one was after extra time. I think this one is going to go down to the wire. But I actually think we didn't see the best of Clare against Wexford last week. Even Tony Kelly was quite quiet. The likes of Ryan Taylor and Shanner had decent games. I just think we're going to see a bit more out of Clare this weekend. Like, Cork were being touted as All-Ireland favourites at... you know, the start of the league. Not All-Ireland favourites, All-Ireland contenders, would say, at the start of the league. And Clare were completely dismissed after the Antrim match. So I just think that it's kind of levelled out a bit more ever since. I think Clare would have preferred to get Galway at this stage rather than Cork. So it's going to be close. But yeah, it was a tight call.
Adrian, where are you vulnerable this week?
I think it's the Mayo-Galway game, isn't it? Like, it's, you just, back in Galway in the hurling is a bit like back in Mayo in the football, that you're just really not sure what you're going to get. But they'll get caught, I think, by Killian's absence at some point, but I don't think it'll be this weekend. And Clare, by the way, I think are the second best team in the country. And I think that there could be a bit of a margin in that game at the weekend.
So you think who's the second best team in the country?
Clare.
Clare is the second best team in the country. What's really? Giving you that optimism?
I just think when once the taps open up, like Tommy said, they didn't even fully hit their straps last weekend. Tony Kelly will maybe didn't have his best game last weekend, but he'll on his own. Tony Kelly is a line on his own as to why Clare are the second best team in the country. Some of them have maybe fallen away in a way that we didn't fully expect. By the way, we should pay tribute to Will's shout last week that Laois would be, was it last weekend? Laois would be close enough to Waterford.
Great
shout. That's the way it played out. So it was one of the shouts of the summer, I'd say, so far. But yeah, that notwithstanding, I just think Clare look brilliant when they're in full flow. When they hit their straps, I think they wouldn't beat Limerick, but they'd run them close. Will, as close as anyone.
You actually completely disagree with that, because you think they're going out this weekend.
Yeah, the only thing is I'm a little bit concerned about Galway now because of the news breaking this morning that they've got at least one COVID-19 case in their camp. We saw what that did to Dublin in the Leinster final against Kilkenny. It's one of the down points of putting in our predictions on a Thursday evening, and then something like this can break just before the game. So Galway might well be affected by that. Like, I think Waterford are going to have an improved performance from last week. I was chatting to Laois manager Cheddar Plunkett, and he made the point that this might be the best possible thing to happen to Waterford, that they got a right good shock last week, had to pull it out of the fire, and they know that they can't put in another below par performance or they're going to be out of the championship. I'm kind of hedging on Cork being as good as the potential we saw earlier in the year from them. That's really where I'm basing this one against Clare. I think for Clare as well, it's difficult to go three back-to-back weeks and put in performances. And it's difficult to read on last week as well, lads, when it came to the Clare-Wexford game, because Clare had the game almost killed after the first quarter because they'd given themselves a double-digits lead. And then it was a case of just outscoring Wexford for the rest of the game. I don't think we saw a very complete performance from Clare last week, but if Clare can knock Cork out and put themselves into an All-Ireland quarter-final, I don't think too many teams will want to face Clare from this point on.
All right. Well, best of luck. all three of you this weekend, but like, I mean, realistically, no good luck to any of you because we need to change this table around comprehensively over the next little while. Will, you're going to stay with us because we do want to chat to you about Offaly under 20s last night, what a win for them. But that for this week is the quick picks.
I absolutely adore them lads. I have unbelievable time for them, but they're a great bunch, but it's not acceptable.
Offaly are back, Will O'Callaghan.
They really are. Finally, our run of Leinster final defeats has come to an end, Owen. 15 in a row across all age grades before last night. And finally now, they've got their hands on the Flood Cup after waiting 26 years and managed to break it in the middle of the presentation as well. So that handle was not very well attached. We wondered, was there going to be a joint captain moment? Because the Offaly captain was injured last evening. So he got to go up in his... his shorts and his team t-shirt, but didn't actually get to lift the cup jointly, which I think is what should really have happened, where there's a standing captain and an injured captain. But that's another one with that change that came around to Congress. But I thought Offaly were really good. It was a coming of age performance for a lot of players who are very highly considered within the county, like Jack Bryant, who scored 6 points. The feeling is that he's almost ready now to step into John Mahon's side to provide a bit of competition for the full forward line for Division 2 football for next season. And Cormac Egan, you know, won, I think, everyone's cult status last night because of his flowing locks on his mullet, but also his cheetah-like running at different stages during the game and how direct he played against that Dublin backline in the second half. Like, Cormac's a remarkable athlete, lads. He played in two Leinster minor finals a couple of weeks ago, both in the hurling and football finals. Star player for both the hurlers and footballers. Then joins the under-20 panel, I think 10 days ago officially. And then he plays a starring role in the under-20 final where Offaly get the better of three in a row chasing Dublin. So some of these young talented players coming through definitely underlined that there's potential in Offaly right now.
Wow, that's incredible. I didn't realise that. Like, this is kind of a reminder as well, seeing some of the scenes yesterday, that we haven't actually seen an outpouring from Offaly in any sense in such a long time. It's a brilliant sight, Will.
Yeah, look, it's been miserable and most of us have been cynical, particularly over the last decade or so, because of the slide, which looks like it might be getting arrested in hurling by potentially winning the Christie Ring and Division 2 of the National League this season. And then the footballers have got themselves up into the second flight for the first time in over 10 years. And also now it looks like there's another bunch of players coming through, which is actually going to bolster the panel. Like Rory Egan, who played last night and I thought a very good game in the halfbacks, has already been name-checked by John Mahon as a player to potentially come in to the senior panel too. And like Jack Bryant at this stage is definitely going to push for a place. Like some of his point taking last night, I don't know if you saw the score that he hit with the outside of his boot over on the 45-metre line to give Offaly a score to go ahead. Like the defence as well has to get huge credit for Dublin didn't score a point after 20 minutes into the game. Like the goals kept them in it. But second half, Dublin scored a solitary score and that was their third goal in the second half. So like it was a very kind of efficient performance from Offaly and a bit like the games against Wexford and Westmeath, which I watched on Tube. Like they probably should have won all three of their games quite comfortably this year, but they have this kind of ability to stick into matches and just get on the right side of the result. And when the Miners were losing out by a point just a few weeks ago in a Leinster final, you'll always take that over, say, a swashbuckling performance. And hopefully this is a big psychological boost for Offaly given all those defeated finals. And again, young Furlong playing at centre-back. I saw Pat Nolan, who'd be a Tullamore clubman of his, put up on Twitter last night that I think over 50% of Offaly's Leinster titles have now been won with a Furlong playing in the team. So some very proud traditions have been carried on. And a lot of the Offaly legends were on the pitch after the game last night. And Cormac Egan's great interview on TG Carr referenced that. Like sometimes the weight of history hangs on a county like Offaly, where these guys have grown up hearing about stories of their fathers and grandfathers playing for the county. But that lineage was very much seen and the importance of tradition, which was stressed by the management team going into the game against Dublin. And hopefully it gives a bit of hope to the rest of the province that Dublin can be beaten in a big game.
Will O'Callaghan, enjoy the celebrations and enjoy the weekend. Thanks a million.
Take it easy, lads.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
If you're over 30 in a football, that's half your age hitting the digs. Those lads are out partying at St. William Street later that night. I'm going home to have an ice bath.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.